Find the building of your dreams at MortonBuildings.com.
Do you remember the last time you had a good night's sleep? Serta wants you to feel the comfort of a good night's sleep every night. Serta Perfect Sleeper is the only official mattress of the National Sleep Foundation. Together, we designed Serta Perfect Sleeper to help solve five common sleep problems. No wonder Serta is the number one selling mattress company in America. With Serta Perfect Sleeper, you'll be so comfortable, you'll never count sheep again.
Want to give your mind a thrill ride? Fasten your metal seatbelt, then gently turn up your radio from 9 till 2. Glenn Klein will be on WRJN. And chances are, your life will never be the same.
It's Ask Dr. Phil. Are you worried that your teen has become obsessed with a relationship? Look, it happens. Kids are moving further and...
Weather forecasts, we'll see more lingering flurries and snow showers throughout the day today with clouds. Additional snow accumulations during the day up to an inch in a few spots. A high of 36. We'll be mainly cloudy tonight. A few leftover flurries, low 24. Cloudy, brisk, and colder tomorrow. Below freezing all day to end the work week. High 30. Cloudy, brisk, and chilly Saturday with flurries back in the forecast. High 31. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Bill Dagger on your radio friend, WRJN.
I'm telling you, Billy, hot tea, honey, and a little bit of lemon. Knock that bad cold right out. It is cold and flu season, beautiful humans. It's freezing in Kenosha, 32 degrees and cloudy. At the Municipal Airport in Burlington, and it's cloudy and 29. Cloudy at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport and 33 degrees. And at Magnum.media's international headquarters in Racine at WRJN, freezing. The wind is out of the west at 14, gusting up to 21 miles an hour, producing a wind chill index of double deuces. 26 is the dew point, 78% relative humidity, and the barometric pressure is rising at 29.80. It is 11 minutes after 11 o'clock. Welcome in to this Throwback Thursday Hour of Power, where we acknowledge during this 60-minute time frame what we know to be true 24/7, don't we, beautiful humans, that knowledge is indeed power. Well, there's good knowledge that's uplifting, and there's some stuff that bums us out. And we became aware last night of the passing of the great Mary Tyler Moore, dead at the age of 80.
Who can turn the world on with her smile? Who can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem worthwhile? Well, it's you, girl, and you should know it. With each glance and every little movement you show it.
Love is all around, no need to waste it. You can never tell, why don't you take it? You're gonna make it after all.
Hathrow. It's 13 minutes after 11 o'clock. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, and he is sitcom writer. He's had quite a career in Hollywood. Please welcome back to WRJN's Community Conversation from Los Angeles, Mr. Bruce Kane. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well. I'm well. It's a sunny and very chilly 54 degrees here at LA, in Los Angeles, I'm sorry to say.
Yeah, are you rubbing it in?
Yes. But please don't move here.
Why?
We have too many people already. The freeways are jammed.
Well, you have two of the most wonderful, beautiful humans on the planet. My mom and dad live there.
Yes, they do.
You're a little familiar with them, aren't you?
Yes. I talked to your dad this morning, and I see your mom like three mornings a week.
Well, I asked my dad to give you a call because he is our West Coast producer, you know.
I understand that.
Yes.
We've got to find something for him.
I wondered if you had had any experience with the great Mary Tyler Moore, and obviously with your expertise in the entertainment business and in sitcoms, what has been your feelings learning about the passing of Mary Tyler Moore?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing, I worked on her. I was a publicist at the CBS television, and so I worked on her show and all the other MTM shows, but I worked on her show for about 2 years. So my, when I read, you know, that I hadn't seen her really, maybe I saw her about a year or two after the I left CBS, but I still think of her as you know, as the Mary Tyler Moore from the Mary Tyler Moore show. And so when I read this, I went, well, how could that happen? You know, how could that happen? You know, this beautiful, you know, beautiful young woman. So, and she was, when I worked with her, I found her to be incredibly professional. She was one of the most professional people I've ever worked with, you know, on time, cooperative, you know, every, you know, did her job to perfection in every aspect of it, which is also acting, you know, sort of being the lead on that show. When I dealt with her and doing publicity, photos, dealing with the press, she was always incredibly professional.
We're talking with Bruce Kane on WRJN. He has been working in the entertainment business and as a sitcom writer and in public relations for his entire career out in Los Angeles. This is Glenn Klein on Community Conversations. People don't realize, I think, what a groundbreaking series the Mary Tyler Moore Show was. Here was a woman, we'd never seen this before, who was the star of the show, a single woman, never married, no children, on birth controls, leaves a man for her career. And they showed something this morning on Morning Joe on MSNBC, a clip where she goes in, Mary Tyler Moore, as to get a raise from Lou Grant at Asner. And she realizes, Mary Richards does, that as the associate producer, she's making less money than her predecessor. And she wants to know from Ed Asner why she's making less money. This was in 1970. And we're still talking about income inequality in 2017.
Yes, that show was one of the things that at that time when Mary's show was on, the CBS lineup was All in the Family, MASH, Mary Tyler Moore, Bob Newhart, and Carol Burnett. And those first three shows, All in the Family and MASH and Mary, all dealt with issues in a slightly different way. And hers was, that show was very, very subtle, whereas All in the Family was sort of right in your face, and Maude was in your face. Mary's show was much more subtle in dealing with those issues. It wasn't in your face, but it came up, and I think in a way it stuck longer because you're still talking about that episode. You still remember it.
How much did that subtlety reflect Mary Tyler Moore?
I think, well, because her acting, you know, and you know, when you're doing comedy, your lead in a comedy show is either the sane person surrounded by crazies, which Mary was, or you have a crazy person surrounded by sane people. So Mary was sane, and she was the reactor, and that was her style of comedy. She was never going to be abrasive or in your face, but she was in a way that I think most women at that time could identify her, because my wife was we were at sort of the same age, and my wife was in the working place and was dealing with exactly those same issues. So it was in much the same way.
She, of course, was nominated for an Academy Award for her role in Ordinary People, opposite of Donald Sutherland.
Yes.
And she, tremendous actress, Mary Tyler Moore, as well. What is it about comedians that can transfer over into comedy where dramatic actors sometimes cannot do comedy?
Because, first of all, to be a good comedy actor or actress, you've got to be a good actor or actress. I mean, people look at what Mary did and think, oh, that's so easy. That was Mary. And no, that wasn't. She was playing a part, and she could just she was like a writer's dream. And we have actors who can't do comedy. You've got to write great big jokes that anybody can say and get a laugh. But when you're writing for someone like Mary Tyler Moore, you can be much more subtle, much more minimal. I once had a discussion with an executive going over one of my scripts and complaining about something and relating it to Mary Tyler Moore show. And I said, the difference is you can write in a script, Mary exits the room nervously. That's not funny on paper. But Mary exiting a room nervously is hysterical. And that was the difference. I mean, if you look at Chuckles Bites the Dust, which is the greatest half-hour comedy episode ever written, in which she's at a funeral and she begins to laugh, she doesn't have any dialogue in that scene. It's just her starting to break up. She has no dialogue, and she gets absolute screams on it. And you can't do that if you're not a really talented actor.
Obviously, the Mary Tyler Moore Show was a classic ensemble comedy. It was really a precursor for things like Friends and Seinfeld. What makes an ensemble situation comedy successful?
The writing, which is the creation of those characters. That's why that show was like a... I never got to write for it, one of my great regrets, but those characters were so strong, so well-defined, had such incredible, strong attitudes, plus the casting. I mean, Ed Asner had never done comedy. He was not known as a comedy actor. He was always a tough guy, a villain, a cop. And his comedy was just... He was brilliant, and he was perfect opposite Mary because he was so strong. And Ted Knight was incredible as Ted Baxter. It was just perfect. They were all perfect in those roles. Cloris Leachman was, Cloris can do, is one of the great American actresses. She can do absolutely anything. Valerie Harper was just spot on. I mean, she got her own show. Cloris got her own show. They all, characters were so strong they could spin off. And they all had very strong attitudes toward Mary. So you could, create a situation, and you knew sort of how each of them would react or act in a situation. And
Gavin McLeod was in that cast. Betty White was in that cast.
Betty came in later on, a couple of years in, and was, she was incredible. She was absolutely, that part was written for her. I mean, the guys knew her, and Betty has that sense of humor. She has that kind of very sweet, attitude with the wide eyes, and is just as fast and funny as any person you will ever meet.
The Chuckles the Clown episode is widely considered the greatest episode in sitcom history. Why is that?
Oh, God. It's when you, first of all, you're dealing with a very difficult subject, which is death. And it's how people deal with death, because they make, through the early part of that episode, they're just making jokes about it because it's too uncomfortable to deal with straight. So everybody starts making jokes about it, and Mary represents sort of the outsider going, well, how can you do this? How can you, talk about, it's a serious thing. You can't laugh about it. And then she gets to the funeral, and then she falls apart.
During the eulogy, the minister's giving the eulogy, and the entire ensemble is there. The entire cast is at the funeral.
And they're very serious about it now.
Right.
And they've been doing all the jokes. Now they're not doing any jokes anymore.
Exactly. And the only one that is talking during this scene is the minister.
Yes.
Mary Tyler Moore is cracking up, and the facial expressions of the cast, of Ed Asner and the rest that you mentioned. If you haven't seen the episode, Beautiful Humans, check it out. Just search it. I'm sure it's going to be even more available. It was a very unique episode, and it was a very unique program. When you're casting, Bruce, how do you sense when people like Ed Asner and Mary Tyler Moore, or obviously they were known actors at the time, but how do you sense the chemistry and the potential chemistry between actors?
Well, sometimes they'll read together. So I'm not sure. I don't know if Mary read. I'm sure she probably did. I wasn't around at the very beginning. But I'm sure she sat in the room because it was her show and she was a star. And she probably came in and after they sort of maybe narrowed it down to a few actors, probably came in and read with them. And so they could tell how these actors will... we'll bounce off each other. And also, like you're talking about, or Ted Knight playing Ted Baxter, he probably hooked into that early on. I mean, in his reading, he must have had the puffed out chest and the whole thing. I remember Ted Knight also played a lot of villains and bad guys. You know, Gavin McLeod played tough guys and bad guys. They all had that background, and yet I think when they had that wonderful touch. Remember, they created those characters. They made them three-dimensional. I think when you sit down in a room, you can tell when it's not working, for sure. And sometimes they just announce themselves.
Well, I am sure your friends Bob and Eileen Klein, my parents, and the grandparents of Hannah Joy Klein Chiclana, have told you that my oldest daughter is an actress. And have they?
Yes.
Okay.
I know that she was like working and doing some studying theater.
She
working in New York a little bit.
I would have been shocked if they hadn't mentioned that.
Oh,
I would have plotzed.
Listen. We are. That's all grandparents talk about.
And
your name hardly comes up.
She and rightfully so. She is a graduate student at the Savannah College of Art and Design.
Uh-huh.
And in March, I'm flying there to see her film a sitcom.
Ooh.
It's an ensemble sitcom, and they were so impressed with her, they saw her do something else, that they literally wrote a part for her in, like, a recurring character.
Yes, that happens.
And
that happens.
So for her and for the aspiring actors out there, what's your biggest recommendation, given your vast experience in the industry?
In this particular show, or for, you know, going on? And
I would say if somebody is getting involved in an ensemble sitcom, for example, and they're not the star, and yet they're a vital part of a show, what should be their approach and attitude?
Well, for me, as a writer, I always want actors to know how to read a script and to know what the story is and what their particular job is, not just to come on and do the jokes, but how do you fit into the story? How do you think about your character? Really create a character. Don't depend on the director to tell you what your character is, but do your homework. Do your homework. Read through the script. What's my history of this character? What's this character's attitude? What is this character trying to accomplish? What does the character want? Because when you have all those characters in the show, they all want something else. And when you have all those wants clashing with each other, then you get conflict, and out of the conflict, you get comedy.
As a writer yourself, and by the way, we're talking with Bruce Kane, who is a situation comedy writer, a longtime member of the entertainment community out there in La La Land. When you have an actor that wants to improvise and come away from your script, how does that make you respond?
I'm not crazy about it, because it's an ensemble, and if you have one act, everybody's on one road, and then you have an actor who's now improvising, going someplace else, it can upset the balance. Now, I know that there are certain actor, writers, directors now in which they only want improvisational actors, and they all start improvising. But if you have one who does it, and they do it continually, then it's more of, oh, look at me. Look, you know, rather than how do I fit into the ensemble? How do I make the ensemble better? How do I make, you know, the production better, the play better, rather than, oh, look at me, I'm over here, and I'm look how funny I am. It upsets the balance.
It's like anything else, I suppose. You've got to be a team player.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think that's what made Mary Tyler Moore such a superstar and very popular in the entertainment world. Ultimately, in the history of television and in sitcoms, what is going to be her legacy and her role?
I think, you know, if you pick it up, you're reading about it now. It's I think it's interesting, the effect that she had, or that show had, on women of that time. More so than a show like Maude, where Bea Arthur was like in your face and abrasive and dealing with really tough issues. Nobody remembers Maude, or very few people do, but everybody remembers the Mary Tyler Moore show. She dealt with those women's issues in a way that was so subtle and so palatable. You didn't go, oh, that was an issue show. You came away enjoying it, and yet it stayed with you.
I think that's probably an excellent lesson for anybody that's trying to communicate any message, because everything is in our face today. Subtlety is a much more effective way to communicate, and a lot of times less is more.
And keep in mind, one other thing I should point out about Mary Tyler Moore Show, mostly it was written by men. There were few female writers around. There weren't that many female comedy writers around at the time, but the ones that were around did write on the Mary Tyler Moore Show, but it was mostly written by men.
And what impact do you think that had?
Well, I mean, the result of the show is the impact of the idea that men were thinking, those guys were thinking in those terms in the early 70s. It's a tribute to those guys who wrote that.
It really is, and it takes a team. And obviously, she was able to surround herself with some amazing writers and directors and actors.
When I worked on that show, it was before I started writing. That was my master's program. Was sitting on that set and watching all those people work, and it was completely and totally a team. There was nobody yelling. There was no egos because Mary wouldn't allow it. It was cooperative. There was always discussions, and then the writers would go back and they would rewrite, and they'd come back and rehearse it. There was always open discussions. Everybody participated, and it was a situation I did not see really on any other show that I worked on.
Wow. Well, she was a special lady, and you're a special man. He's Bruce Kane. He's a sitcom writer from Los Angeles. Really appreciate your time, as always, Bruce, and we'd like to do it again right around Emmy time if you're available.
I would love to talk with you again.
Thank you, sir. Really appreciate it. Say hello to my folks, will you?
Yes, I will. I see your mom at the gym, so I'll wave.
she's Mary Tyler Moore's age, and she's in there lifting weights still.
I see her doing weights, and I see her doing Zimmerman. Your dad said she just took up Tai Chi.
I know, she's unbelievable.
Yeah, I said the next thing is going to be Taekwondo, and he better be really careful.
That's exactly right. All right, well, thank you. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday.
You too. Take care.
There he goes, Bruce Kane from Hollywood.
W260 CV Racine is 99.9 FM.
28 minutes till high noon on your Throwback Thursday Hour of Power. We're going to glean some more information because the great Tom Carco is awaiting us with this hour's news update from the news center in 61 seconds.
Whether you learn to drive a tractor sitting on your grandfather's lap or you're still a bit greener than